Now, you know, on this program, we have talked many times about this incredible individual that we are going to be bringing you in just a moment as we go live to Switzerland, Eric von Däniken, Chariots of the Gods. As a matter of fact, I was just on a television program with him on the History Channel as they did a program on ancient astronauts some time ago. His new work is called History is Wrong. In a moment, Eric von Däniken on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Eric von Däniken. Born in Switzerland in 1955, Eric first expressed his lifelong fascination with extraterrestrial visitors in his international bestseller, Chariots of the Gods. Eric always involved in the international lecture circuit. And here he is, our guest this hour on Coast to Coast. Eric, my pleasure. How are you, sir?
Well, it's a pleasure. I'm sitting in Switzerland. Surrounded by mountains, but sitting on my desk, it's wonderful weather.
I'm sitting in St. Louis, surrounded by buildings, and it's wonderful weather, too. You know, you were on the History Channel. I was interviewed for that program, and I just want you to know that all my years of broadcasting, and even before that, Eric, your book, your first book, Chariots of the Gods, was such an inspiration for me and so many other people who have been trying to get answers to visitations and just things that may have happened on this planet. Absolutely remarkable. I wanted to thank you for that.
Well, I want to thank you for this compliment. Of course, Chariots of the Gods was mind-exploding. In the meantime, 41 years have passed. I have published many other books, and the newest, really incredible nonfiction is called History is Wrong.
Absolutely, and we've got that here, and it's another remarkable work. When you first put, for example, Chariots of the Gods together, and subsequently History is Wrong, what was it that got your interest going? What was it that just said to you, there's something wrong here, we've been visited?
Now, I was educated in Switzerland in a boarding school led by Jesuits, you know, by the priests. We had to learn Latin and Greek for 6 years and to translate some of the passages in the Bible. Now, you have to understand, I was and I still am a deep believer in God. I am one of these persons who still is praying. But in the Bible, I was confronted with the God, which something was wrong. For example, my God is almighty. He is timeless. He doesn't need a vehicle in which to move around. But in the Bible, I read, for example, with the prophet Ezekiel, how God drives down in a chariot. And it is described the wheels and the wings and the legs and every detail. So I was confused with my own religion. I said, this can't be God. God won't need the vehicle in which to move around. So that's how it all started. I simply wanted to know if other communities in antiquity have similar traditions as we have it in the Christian and Judo literature.
You know, the Nazca Lines in Peru, I got a phone call right before you came on, Eric. People are still fascinated by that, how they were built, the message and meaning. Give me your hypothesis, what you think happened a long time ago when those areas, those symbols were being constructed.
Really long time ago. We don't know when it was, but I guess at least 3,000 BC, if not more. Some mother spaceships surrounded the Earth. These extraterrestrials, they had instruments to find out where on Earth is raw material. They needed all kind of raw material, maybe uranium or whatever. And they located some of this stuff in Nazca. Nazca is a desert in Peru. So just a small space shuttle has come down to Nazca. The extraterrestrials, of course, don't need airstrips for their landing. There was nobody there anyhow in the beginning to make airstrips for them. But simply by landing, the space shuttle sand was blown away, and a simple line was created in the desert. And the natives, they could not understand what was going on. The extraterrestrials made their measurements, their diggings, whatever, and they left one day again. But on the desert, in the ground, there was still this landing place. looking like a landing strip, an airstrip. Now, the natives started to construct the same thing. They wanted to do something for the gods. They had seen that gods have come down from the sky. So now they start to make lines to the north, east, west, and south, not knowing what they are doing, just copying the first line. And later some priest may have a good idea. Priests always have good ideas. And they say, well, we have to signalize, we have to show the gods in heaven that we are here. And now in the middle of the line, they construct gigantic figures like fishes, monkeys, apes, spiders, and so on. This is my hypothesis. In the meantime, I know for sure, and this is definitely scientific, that something in Nazca is wrong. I had a long measurements with some professors of the university in Dresden in Germany there just 2 years ago. And definitely something is wrong in Nazca because we found high amount of arsenic. Arsenic is very poisoning. We find magnetic fields on the desert of Nazca, strong magnetic fields, which should not be there. So something is wrong in Nazca. We just don't have the answer.
Tell me the premise then of History is Wrong, your new work.
Well, the first important thing is the prophet of Enoch. Enoch is mentioned in the Bible very, very short. He was one of the patriarchs. He was the seventh patriarch before the Great Flood. But what the people don't know, the same Enoch is author of a book. It's called the Book of Enoch. And there Enoch describes in the first person, means I did, I was there, I here. In the first person, what happened to him? He describes that two beings descended from the sky, and he clearly say they were not human. They had not the breast of a human. These two strangers took Enoch out and brought him up to a mother spaceship. Of course, he does not say it's a mother spaceship. He does not understand what it is. He describes it with crystals. He sees the stars. He hears noise and all kind of things. And he comes into the commanding central, to the main point in the ship, and there he was greeted by the commander. And then the commander orders two of his people to learn the young Enoch their language, which means in a short time Enoch speaks two languages, his own mother language and the language of the extraterrestrials. And now he's used as interpreter between the human and the extraterrestrials. They learn him writing. They dictate him books, books about science, books about calendar, books about the moon, books about the star, books about metallurgy, etc. And this is so fascinating. You know, I know the names of the extraterrestrials who were here some thousands of years ago, not because I had an inspiration, simply because Enoch tells these names. So we know how they were named, these beings from outer space who were here some thousands of years. So that's the main story in my new book, History is Wrong. By the way, I have to apologize for my language. You see, I'm Swiss. My first language is German, and the second language is French, and then comes Spain. So English is my fourth language, so my accent may not be the perfect one.
You don't have to apologize at all, Eric. Your language and your English pronunciation is perfect.
Thank you very much.
You've got some illustrations and some photographs in History is Wrong, some kinds of panels, gold panels, that you say were found in Ecuador. Tell me about that.
Yes. In Ecuador, there are subterranean tunnels. I have published and written about this some 38 years ago. And when I did it, I was crashed down completely by the press, including my own press in Switzerland, my friends here. But it was worldwide. I was called a liar and a fraud. And I was said that these tunnels do not exist, etc. In the meantime, 38 years have passed, and I clearly prove these tunnels do exist, and there are strange objects, strange writings in these tunnels. In my new book, I even give the exact geographical location where it is, so that nobody can hide this treasure again. Now, down from this tunnel, a father, an old father, a Catholic priest in Ecuador, has received from the Indians some of these copper and silver tablets. And some of these tablets are full of writings which nobody can decipher. Until today, nothing was deciphered. But I present some of the pictures in my new book.
Well, fascinating theory. And, you know, you were the first, I think, to really come forward with this incredible theory of extraterrestrial visitation. And a number of people now are trying to prove that as well. Where do you think they went, Eric? They came here, they left. How come?
Well, I mean, they behave themselves like ethnologists. Ethnologists, they study certain tribes, they learn the language. To be friendly, they help them a little for the future, and then they disappear. But they always disappear with the promise to return one day. And literature, ancient literature, is full of the promises of the return of the so-called gods. According to the Maya calendar, the so-called gods, the extraterrestrials, will return on December 23rd, 2012. That's one date we have in the Maya literature. But before, I was talking about the prophet Enoch in the Old Testament. He also disappeared with the extraterrestrial in a fiery chariot. And before he leaves, he tells his son was called Methuselah, he tells him that it will take thousands of years, but he will return to Earth. Every culture in the past, be it the Maya, be it the Egyptians, be it the Inca, they all knew about this promise of returning of someone. And still today we have it. Look, I'm educated as a Christian. We Christians wait for the returning of Jesus Christ. Now the Jewish community, since 5,700 years, they still wait for the returning of their Messiah. Or the Muslim society, as they have a different calendar than ours, they wait for the returning of the so-called Mahdi. Now, to be honest, not every religion can be right. Some of them must be wrong. And I suggest we are all wrong. There is no Jesus and no Messiah and no Mahdi to return, but some extraterrestrials. And this will create some sort of shock of the gods.
Absolutely. Eric, you have sold well over 60-plus million copies of your books. They've been translated in 28 different languages. Do you find that worldwide, this planet believes that we've been visited?
Slowly, more and more people are believing this. Here in Germany and Switzerland, where I live, we have statistics which were published by the newspapers, and in the meantime, more than 51% believe that this planet was visited some time ago. What they are missing is the scientific proof. And with scientific proof, I mean an object, something which was left by the extraterrestrials. And until today, we have not found a direct proof, an object. But what we have definitely are the old writings, the old books. I mentioned Enoch before, but we have also old Indian texts where the same story as Enoch is described. The old Indians also describe spaceships. They call it cities on the firmament. And some of the humans were taken up there. They learned their language. So not only Enoch. We have the old traditions. And concerning these, the literature thousands of years ago, we definitely can say we must have been visited by beings from outer space because they give exact information, not just funny things as storm or lightning or fire. They give exact information about the calendar, about the moon, about the sun. So it's absolutely fascinating.
Do you believe that these extraterrestrials will return?
Definitely. They will return. I even would suggest within the next 40, 50 years they will return. There are too much indications for this. And we should better be prepared for such an event than to be shocked and to fall in a hole.
What about the alien abduction phenomenon? Do you think that's going on?
Well, I'm not sure about this. This is not my speciality in writing. My speciality are the aliens from outer space thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
About this, I know everything. Of course, I read some books of abductions, and I personally knew different professors who had observed and who have studied these abductions. And to me, it seems something is going on. Some of our humans were abducted, but I have no scientific proof in my hands.
Eric, Zechariah Sitchin, theory of from Sumerian tablets that we were visited as well, the Anunnaki. What do you think of that?
I love Zachariah. I know him very good. We are old friends. He's an old man as I am. I am nearly 75. Zachariah is a few years older, I guess. And he has translated wonderful Sumerian tablets. And what he says, mostly I accept. With a few exceptions, I don't think that we have a 12th planet in our solar system which surrounds the sun within 3,600 years, as Zachariah suggests. But I am absolutely with him with his translations from the Sumerian cuneiform, from the tablets. And there again, if they speak about extraterrestrials, which have different names, of course, so-called gods. We all know, by the way, that there are no gods. There's only one God, the Almighty God. But our ancestors were Stone Age people some thousands of years ago. They could not understand what was going on, so they called the extraterrestrials gods.
Do you believe that our civilization's past might have been way more advanced than most people tell?
Well, when you read the story of Atlantis, for example, and the story of Atlantis is handed down in Plato's books, and Plato describes it very precise, really with the exact measurements, with the population. And Atlantis was founded by one of the gods. Poseidon was his name. Poseidon took one of the beauties of our daughters, so a human girl, and made her pregnant, and they had children. And that's why Poseidon, the gods, founded Atlantis. So this Atlantis was definitely much higher in civilization than the rest of the world at that time. But still, concerning Atlantis, we have literature, precise literature, but we have no object, no scientific object.
Eric, as you continue to do research and look for, I think, additional information about our visitations, what do you think the next 20 years or so could mean to our civilization, to our planet? Will we uncover some of these answers to these
questions? Absolutely. I am sure within the next 10 years, we will have a conclusive scientific proof that extraterrestrials were here. We will find it, because in the meantime, we know how to look. And I think within the next years also, we will have a radio contact. Our radio astronomy will find something artificial out there, so that we know for sure we are not alone. And then we have to look for physical proofs, for objects, because they left something behind here. This may not be necessarily on our planet Earth. An object by the extraterrestrials could be, for example, a little satellite just surrounding the Earth, not bigger than a football. That's enough with information. Or could be at some part, on a logical, geographical part, on the moon. And we will find it. We will locate it. And then within the next 20 or 40 years, the extraterrestrials themselves will return to this planet. And this will shock our religion, shock our politics, shock our philosophy. That's why I'm doing my job. You know, just to conclude this, I am not creating some sort of new religion or religious sects. On the contrary, I turn myself in the tomb if some idiots come up and create out of Eric von Däniken's researchers some new religion. That's the contrary what I want. But what I want and wish is that people finally start to read what I suggest and then control it. Go and control Enoch. Go and control, in the highland of Bolivia, Puma Punku. Go and control Nazca. There are scientific data concerning Nazca. By the way, these newest scientific data about Nazca are also in the last chapter of my book, History is Wrong, including the pictures.
Perfect.
So that's
Eric,
what I suggest.
We're going to come right back and take phone calls with you for the next 30 minutes. This is a real treat and opportunity to talk with none other than Eric von Däniken. We shall open up the phone lines in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. We're talking about his new work, History is Wrong. We'll be right back. On our next Coast to Coast program, Linda Moulton Howe joins us with a series of reports of the 1980 RAF Bentwaters and Rendlesham Forest craft case. Should be a fascinating program. When we come right back, let's take phone calls with Eric von Däniken, author of Chariots of the Gods and History is Wrong. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Eric Von Dunnick. And Eric, when you travel worldwide, what seems to be the biggest questions that most people want to ask you?
Well, first they asked me if I ever saw a UFO. Unfortunately, I never saw one. Then they asked me, how did it all start? We had that before in our show. How did it that I start with Chariots of the Gods and so on? That's the next question. Finally, they believe that they ask me if I believe in God. And I always have to say, yes, I'm a believer in God. I'm one of these persons who still pray.
And I bet ETs are believers in God as well.
Of course, ETs are believers in God. Behind the ETs, behind the so-called gods, we have this fantastic universe, and we have something which we cannot understand. I call it the creation or the spirit of creation. That's behind everything. Others call it God.
Lots of calls for you, Eric. Let's take as many as we can. St. Petersburg, Florida, we go. Damon, you're on Coast to Coast with Eric Von Dunnicken. Go ahead, Damon.
Hello, George. Hello, Mr. Von Dunnicken.
Hello.
My question pertains to the return of these extraterrestrials to this planet and whether you think this will either hinder or help the competing religions that we now have here.
Well, it will hinder the religions because most of the religions have a wrong base. But at the same time, it will help all religions in the believing of God, which means, for example, we will have a problem with Christianity, with Jesus Christ, with his life, with his death. The Muslims will have a problem with their prophet at all. The Jewish community will have a problem with their Messiah. But what we learn from the extraterrestrials is that behind everything is God. Behind everything is creation. So the Almighty God becomes bigger and bigger than ever before.
Good. Steve in San Francisco, you're up with us. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yes. I was wondering, is there any way that aliens could communicate through our dreams? I mean, since I've been 12, since I was 12 years old, I've had dreams of aliens.
I am sure about this because, funny enough, I myself have dreams. You see, since 1968 and now, about 41 years have passed, I have published 32 books, and sometimes I read some of my own books, which I made 20 years ago, and I ask myself, where did you get all these ideas and these sources from? And it is a fact that from time to time, I dream, and when I wake up, I run to my computer, and I start to type material into my computer, which I have learned overnight.
When you were growing up as a boy, were you interested in this entire area?
No. When I was a boy, I was just Catholic, growing up in this boarding school, reading Latin and Greek texts, but I had nothing to do with extraterrestrials.
Eric, I've got to ask you what you think of the Billy Meyer case. He's out there not too far from
I know. That. Well, I'm not a fan of Billy Meyer anymore. Some 30 or 40 years ago, I mean, he's a Swiss fellow. He lives in the same country as I.
Yeah.
30 or 40 years ago, I'm sure he had an experience. He must have had contact. He probably saw some UFOs and whatever. But what I don't like in Billy Meyer's case, he made out some sort of religions. And we don't need new religions. We have enough religions in the past. And religions always was the reason for war, for fight, for killing somebody. So I don't want new religions. That's why I have problems with Billy Meyer.
Okay, we go to our international line, Vancouver, Canada. Hello, Keon. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, George. Thank you very much for doing what you're doing. And Mr. Von Dunnicken, this is such an honor. I read your book more than 30 years ago when I was a young teenager, and as a result, I read all the texts that I could find, Bible and everything. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Von Dunnicken, I remember in one of your books, I can't remember the name, eventually you rejected the idea of interplanetary traveling because of the massive distances. What do you think about it now?
Well, in the meantime, I'm sure we have no problem to travel interstellar travel. First of all, the primitive method to do this would be a generation spaceship. So there are 20 generations living on board, but it will work. If you only read the speech of 2% of the speed of light, you would reach the distance of 10 light years within 500 years on Earth. That means about 30 generations. So with this primitive method of generation spaceship, you can do it. And on the other hand, I know that some scientists are coming together all the time and they are discussing and calculating about the so-called warp drive. And this is future. Maybe warp drive, which would be over speed of light, in 100 years is the next possibility. I don't know, but I know that some scientists are seriously working on this issue. By the way, I think it's incredible that I'm sitting in Switzerland in my mountains in the office, and you are sitting in Vancouver, and the host is sitting somewhere in California. This is fantastic.
And all over the place, isn't it? Let's go to Rob, who's driving in North Carolina. Go ahead, Robbie.
Hello.
Robbie, you're there? There. I got to push the button. Eric? There you go.
Yeah. Eric and George, what an honor. 8-year-old boy, Eric, I read your book. 8 years old. First book I ever read.
Uh-huh.
It's been with me ever since, and it started, and now I'm listening to Coast to Coast every night to keep me up, and I got to tell you, I just thank you for that so much.
That's wonderful.
I have a question for you about the NASA lines. Well, actually about the figures in NASA. Obviously, they were done. They used some kind of aircraft to sign them or use them as a guide. My question to you is, do you think they might have used hot air balloons? I heard that as a hypothesis one time.
Yes, I heard that story too. It was published some 20 years ago that the natives of Nazca, they used some hot air balloons. And you really cannot exclude that. You cannot definitely say, no, this is wrong. This is quite a possibility, hot air balloon. So that from the air, they could look down and see of these signs of the shapes of apes and monkeys and spiders and so on. You cannot exclude that. But on the other hand, Nazca is a mystery. And what I have read, and I know every archaeological book about Nazca, really every. I know every theory. And what they are telling, it's just not the final answer. They are always telling of religion, of cult, of temples. And that's all possible. There is cult, there is religion, there was temple. But the big question is, how did it all start in Nazca? Why have people started to make kilometer-long lines and signs in the ground? With what methods? And why still today we measure high arsenic in the ground of Nazca? Why still today in the so-called airstrips? I say so-called because they look like airstrips. Why do we find magnetic fields below these so-called airstrips, 2.5 meters below the ground? Why? This is scientific and has nothing to do with archaeology. Something is wrong in Nazca, definitely. By the way, to read all this, what I tell you about scientific measurements in Nazca, you have to go and buy my new book, History is Wrong. That's like Chariots of the Gods. It's a continuation.
You had fun writing this book, didn't you?
I have what?
Fun. You enjoyed it.
I loved it. It's really like Chariots of the Gods. I come up with all these stories and say, what happened since 41 years? Now read the story. Go and criticize me. Check it out. Control it. And you will really be absolutely baffled about it.
Do you still get many requests, Eric, for conferences and places like that?
Look, I live in Interlaken. Interlaken is in the Bernese Oberland in Switzerland. And in this little city, Interlaken, it's a tourist city, we have a park called the Mystery Park. And the Mystery Park is a gigantic thing where you see all these mysteries in the world, like the pyramid, like Nazca, etc. Of course, you see it three-dimensional. You fly over Nazca, etc. Now, because of this Mystery Park, I have practically every day requests. This afternoon, for me in Switzerland, it's now 10:45. This afternoon, in 3 hours, I have a speech at the Mystery Park, and television will be there. So in Germany, Switzerland, Austria, and in Europe, Eric von Däniken is well known. In the U.S., we have to return, because many of my books were missing there.
Absolutely. Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hello, Deborah. You're on with Eric von Däniken. Go ahead, Deborah.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Of course, wonderful. Even in Switzerland, I hear you.
Oh, good, good. I'm curious as to, I mean, you said you studied Latin as a boy and you were just, you know, like any other normal boy. But as you got older, what really sparked your interest into researching a lot of this or beginning to research it?
It was religion, religious doubt. I had doubt in my own Catholic religion.
Right.
I was not sure because these writings, if you read the Bible, for example,
I do.
You realize that Moses describes how the Lord descends on the holy mountains.
Right.
But before the Lord descends on the holy mountains, Moses has to construct a gate around the mountain so the Israelites could not stand by. Then the Lord descends with smoke, fire, trembling, loud noise, etc.
Right.
Now the real God, the omnipotent, timeless, almighty God in the universe does not need any vehicle which descends on the mountain with smoke and fire and trembling and loud noise and so. So I had doubts in my Catholic education, and I wanted to find out if other communities in antiquity have similar stories.
Okay, we go to John now in Denver, Massachusetts. Go ahead, John.
Hi, George. Hi, Eric. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hi.
Can you hear me good?
Yes, I hear it perfect.
I wanted to ask if either one of you have seen that Madonna on the Moon video from YouTube.
No, I haven't, unfortunately.
No.
I guess there was one of the Apollo missions saw it, and then there was an Apollo 20 that no one knows about, I guess, and if you look at the video, if you go just go to YouTube and punch it in, and I guess the landing vehicle, you know, they have the prints for it, and you can download them from NASA, and it's a, you know, whoever made this video, if they had gone through all this trouble to make this video, it would have been.
So what do you say? It's a sort of Madonna on the moon?
Yeah, they found a woman's body in a spaceship up there allegedly.
Well, that's strange. I will after this radio interview, I will immediately go into. I have to check this. I don't know about it.
Eric, why didn't we go back to the moon? What did you know? There's some have said we were told don't go back. What do you think?
Because of stupid politicians. These politicians, they never think to the future. They just think to the next elections. It's ridiculous. We have to go to the moon. We have to go on Mars. We have to explore space. This is very important for mankind and for the future of mankind. Politicians always think in money and the next elections. I know, for me, politicians, I don't take them for serious.
Okay, we go next to Sholo, Arizona. Frank, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Frank. You're on with Eric.
Thank you very much for taking my phone call, Mr. Norrie.
Of course.
And to speak to your guest. My one question is, concerning these aliens that are going to come back, you had talked before about the human species having different races. Do you think our planet could have been seeded, us humans brought here by different aliens that reflect our different genes?
There are two things to differentiate. How did life start on Earth? I think that life started by panspermia. Panspermia means that the first form of primitive life, you call it DNA in the USA, we call it DNS in Switzerland. The first life forms have come into our planet by extraterrestrials, not by spaceship. It's just panspermia means the whole universe is full with some sort of virus which contains the information about life. Now, then evolution starts. We have evolution definitely on this planet. I mean, more or less scientific, we came from the family tree of apes. Others deny this, but I say, okay, we have evolution. But at a certain time in our evolution, about 40,000 years ago, extraterrestrials returned to Earth. They took the most advanced form of life, which was one of our ancestors, some of the ape type, and they changed it by a genetic mutation, and they create the first intelligent being. So we have evolution, definitely, but we have in the evolution, we have an artificial mutation made by the extraterrestrials. That's why we separated definitely from the rest of our family tree.
Next up, we go to Randy in Pickens, South Carolina, first-time caller. Go ahead, Randy.
George, Eric, it is an absolute honor to talk to both you guys, man. This is awesome. This is the first time getting through. Anyways, quick question. When the aliens do, you know, make their presence known, which one of the two you think will make their presence known first, the good ones or the bad ones?
What do you think, Eric?
Yeah, nobody knows for sure, but I hope the good ones. We will be shocked when they are here. You know, we have learned in science, in our universities, we have learned, first, there are probably no extraterrestrials. If they do exist, they would look completely different than humans. Such thing like humans would never exist there, out there again. And thirdly, they tell us they are the speed of light, so we extraterrestrials could never reach the Earth. Now they will return. So science was telling something wrong. Astronomy was telling something wrong. Then we have learned in religion about Jesus, about Muhammad, about Messiah, and now the extraterrestrials are here. And we learn it was all rubbish. It is not true the way we learned it. So we will be shocked, but I think that these extraterrestrials will help us. In the past, they were teachers for young mankind. So I'm absolutely optimistic. They will help us. They are not coming here to destroy the human race.
Do you believe we're being visited now, Eric? So many people see UFOs.
Yes, I think from time to time somebody observes us. I mean, before they return, they have to find out in a scientific way what languages do we speak. Are we a danger? What kind of weapons do we have? What bacteria, what viruses would kill us, et cetera, et cetera. You need a scientific program before you return. You cannot just shake hands and then you be killed by some bacteria, extraterrestrial bacteria or earthly bacteria. So there is a program going on at the moment, observation program.
History is wrong, Eric von Daniken. Eric, I assume this book is out in bookstores all over the place, huh?
I don't know. I hope it. It's called History is Wrong, and I hope it's all over the bookstores. Or if not, it's available on Amazon.
When do you make your way to the United States again?
Well, as soon as somebody invites me.
Eric, and speaking of inviting you, you are welcome on this program anytime
thank you
want. Anytime you want, indeed. And you take care of yourself. Great work. And once again, thank you for what you have done, contributing to this planet's knowledge.
Thank you for giving me the chance to talk again to you, your wonderful station, your people, and of course the Americans and the Canadians.
That's Eric von Daniken. And I got to tell you, when I was a little boy and I first picked up Chariots of the Gods, I was mesmerized by it. I couldn't put it down. When I saw those pictures of those Nazca lines in Peru, it just changed my life. One of the major reasons, I think, that I got into broadcasting was because of the work of Eric von Daniken. His new one, History is Wrong. And like Chariots of the Gods, he's done it again. On our next Coast to Coast program, yep, it's Linda Moulton Howe. So get ready for her and her special series of reports, followed by the last hour conversations with Linda right here on Coast to Coast AM. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesure, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.